Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Justin Davis, Scoop. Brian Altano, Mitch Dyer.
Y'all see Pluto?
This episode of GameScoop is apparently brought to you by Starbucks.
Yeah, the best coffee within walking distance of having 10 minutes to get coffee. This their coffee's not great.
This
second best coffee in walking distance of the office.
It's actually probably like third or fourth.
We got a great show for you. We're going to get GameScoop back on track here. We've been taking some side steps around.
What kind of show are you running here, Hatfield?
We had like 15 E3 preview episodes, and then we did an all 20 questions episode. Now we're just going to get back. This is a news show.
We had a character death.
We had,
we killed off Marty
Stapleton.
No, that's not true.
But is he really dead? That's who.
In this universe, he might be.
No, GameScoop was a news show.
We the IGN Cinematic Universe.
Hard, hard hitting video game news. This week we start with Batman Arkham Knight. I'm still immensely enjoying this game.
Yep.
This game is fantastic.
Well,
okay. You think it's okay?
I think it is consistently good.
Consistently good.
That's really
your tone of voice is not matching the words coming out of your mouth.
I'm hearing Brian say a flat 7 right now.
It is a 7, and it's 7.72.
Did you finish it?
Yes.
Okay. So I haven't finished it yet.
I didn't 100% it. Because that's insane.
Yeah.
I'm not doing 243 Riddler puzzles.
You let the Riddler win.
I let the Riddler. Yeah.
I have a theory that the way you beat the Riddler is just ignore him.
Yeah.
Because
that drives him crazy.
Give him his power by doing all of his shit.
No, he constantly calls going, Batman, I told you to be in Chinatown, but you're not there.
I can't.
I know. I have better things to do, dude.
It makes me feel like I'm in school again. It's a lot of thinking.
You can see that. New Catwoman. Is it a single mission? Is that what it is that's out now?
It's actually Batgirl.
I'm sorry, Batgirl.
Batgirl.
Mitch has played it, but clarify to me what it is exactly.
Yeah, so it's the first expansion pack that comes with the season pass. It's standalone, $7. It is stars Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, prequel to Arkham Asylum. Mm. It is a matter of family. Mm. And Batgirl and Tim Drake Robin are kind of assaulting this unopened, never-before-used carnival island place. Because there's some interesting story behind it that you can find through audio dialogue or audio logs and stuff. But basically, Jim Gordon is kidnapped. Barbara Gordon goes to rescue him.
Mm. It's very short.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. That's what I hear a lot of people
say. I knocked it out in about 60 minutes.
Batwoman plays exactly like Batman. Batgirl plays exactly like Batman, but with fewer gadgets.
I might just be looking for something. I feel like she's faster. Just a little bit.
Well, sure. I mean, maybe. But I mean, it's not like a different character.
No.
It's
the same. She very much punches and breaks arms.
Worth playing? Not even worth playing.
I don't know. I didn't get anything out of it, right? Like, it's essentially a bunch of combat bowls and predator rooms with this loose thread of a story that ultimately is inconsequential. It doesn't mean anything for Barbara. It doesn't mean anything for Batman or the Joker or Harley Quinn, who are all in it doing stuff. And it's like, it's cool to see the Joker in like a fun top hat and Harley Quinn in the Mad Love outfit. But basically, you rescue some hostages, you fight some guys, and then you have a fist fight with the Joker and it's over.
$40 season pass, off to a good start.
Well, I mean, that's the sense that I get, is like as a piece of season pass content drop, you know, cool. Like, you have the season pass, you get your first content drop, like, it's totally reasonable. You get some costumes, get some story stuff. But as a $7 standalone thing, like, it seems very ridiculous.
Well, as part of the season pass, this sets a bad tone to begin with.
Yeah, sure.
So far, the season pass has been disappointing every step of the way. And the fact that they were not telling people what was in it, what this was, any details about A Matter of Family, what's to come. Like, it all just seems like really weird, predatory, snake oil salesman stuff that I'm really not into.
Well, so they also announced the season pass stuff that's coming next month in August. So there's two packs, and we've got a photo of the contents here. First is the 1989 movie Batmobile pack. which if we can pull that up here. I think that's cool, because that's a really good Batman movie. That's
the also,
Batman well, movie. The Batman.
I had, that's the Batman movie I loved when I was a kid.
So actually, this is my Batman Returns is my favorite Batman movie ever made.
Wow.
That Batmobile is my favorite Batmobile.
I love
ever
that
made.
Batmobile.
And I love
you.
That Batman costume. I don't know if it's my favorite. I mean, I played the entire game with the Adam West skin, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
nice. I don't think anything can top that.
No.
But all of this is fantastic. It comes with a catch. That Batmobile cannot be used in place of the Bat Tank throughout the entire game.
Yes.
You only that use it like a few specific yep. spots.
Yeah. What?
In the yeah. Riddler races.
Remember right? that's those it. Those oh my
God.
Races?
God. Yeah. What's
yeah.
the point?
Yeah. Like, so that's...
We got you some new skins for characters you can't play in battle arenas because you can't pick characters. We got you a Batmobile you can only play in stupid racetracks you don't want to play in. We got some DLC. It's an hour long.
Yep.
I like what's
I'm actually
I'm
like this character
I'm surprised you guys didn't know that because they've advertised it nowhere.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
they're like, very open about all of this.
So it's kind
surprise.
Of disingenuous, right? Because every time you see a new Batman skin, you're like, totally, get it. And it's going to put it on his character. He's going to be able to use it for every cutscene and everything. Same with Robin, same with yeah. Catwoman. All those skins are
all
applicable
those characters
everywhere.
You get to play.
But the Batmobile stuff goes back to the fact that they didn't design the tank to begin with to adapt to this. These things. That's why when I played the game with the Adam West skin, it actually came with a skin for the Bat Tank, which just kind of put like that black metallic sheer on it and those red stripes that were on the
oh, that's cool.
The old school.
I mean, that's a nice touch.
It's cool. It had the old logo and everything. Like, it's a cool little touch, but it's still the tank.
Right.
You know, it still opens up the tank. And I looked at this Batmobile and I'm like, oh, totally. I remember the part in the movie where the sides fall off and it turns into that missile. They go through that one alley.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Batman leaves his weird car parts in the middle of the street for the Joker's.
It just litters all over Gotham.
I don't know what he does with that. So I figured like they're gonna make this car open up and kind of go into tank mode like that. Perfect solution. I don't design games. What do I know?
Yeah.
Nope. That's not even on the table. So.
It feels like it's something that if they had more time, mm-hmm. like if they didn't have deadlines, then certainly all these car skins would have had like tank mode. They would have designed a tank mode for the 89 Batmobile. But to me, it feels like a victim of just running out of time.
It bums me out too because in the corner of that shot, there's pictures of Gotham City covered in snow. There's a cemetery.
Yeah,
and it's totally
oh, wow.
the Christmas Eve
Batman Returns.
Like,
yeah.
Right. yeah, really awesome, right? And I kind of want to see like the Penguin car driving down the street, like his big rubber ducky car and stuff like that. Throw on some Danny Elfman music.
Yep.
We have the 89 Batman game we've kind of always wanted, or the Batman Returns game I've always wanted. Especially as Catwoman's in this game, like Penguin is in this game. And it sucks because we're right. Like, we are so close, and we're closer than we probably ever will be to getting that, and we're not there.
Yeah.
That bums me
also,
out.
It led to some spectacular headlines that ended in Michael Keaton skin.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is weird.
There is no Michael Keaton skin, only the costume.
Yeah.
It would be cool if they brought in Michael Keaton to re-record all of Batman's lines.
I would love that.
So that's the one thing we're getting in August for Season Pass.
Here's hoping for better Arkham episodes in the future.
Yeah. The other is the Bat Family Skins Pack, which you saw up there. Six character skins based on alternate timelines. You got 1990s Catwoman, 1 year later Robin. I'm not sure.
I don't know what year they're talking about. But
sure.
He can buy booze now.
Might be a book. I don't know.
The Batman Family Skins Pack.
Yeah.
We're the skinny of family.
Arkham Origins Batman is in there. Yeah. Iconic gray and black Batman, 1970s Batman, and the original Arkham Nightwing is in there. But like for these other characters, when do they wear these skins? You don't get to control them in the open world.
No, so that's the thing. Is like
right.
you would only ever get to see the Nightwing skin when you meet him in the game.
Right.
Yeah. I also don't know where you equip that in the game. Like I've been trying to find it because I have the Nightwing suit where it's like the red Nightwing New 52 set, and it looks really good, but I can't figure out how to equip it. And I don't know when I would ever see it. For like the side missions where he gets kidnapped and I have to go rescue him and we fight together, like maybe then.
It's
but
like, sup, Nightwing. Okay, bye.
Yeah, so you see it for a grand total of like maybe 10 minutes in the entire game.
Well, you get it for maybe, it's like 90 seconds 8 times.
Yeah.
That's about it. And you get to switch between him and play as him for just a moment and then or call him in for tag team attacks.
Just very briefly though.
But it's so quick. It's over so fast. It's not like really you get the entire game with him or anything like that.
And it's disappointing that the challenge room add-on content isn't nearly as good as it was in City. The AR challenges in Arkham Knight are hyper specific. They are this challenge with this character,
right,
with this deadline and these conditions. Whereas in Arkham City it was like different conditions gave you, I think, like different amounts of points or your time and the amount of like how quickly you took guys down varied or dictated your success. But you could also do it like, well, I want to do this one with Nightwing because it'll be harder because he doesn't have certain stuff that Batman does. Mm. And that just led to a wider variety of cool leaderboard challenges, which Arkham Knight doesn't have.
So look, I want to stress that I really, really like the game. We keep going like back and forth. Like, Damon really loves it. Brian thinks it's just good. The 1989 Batmobile is cool, but you can't change it to a tank, so it seems like we keep going back and forth. But I really, really love the game. I'm surprised, actually, one of the things I like about it is that it's one of the few games recently that has genuinely startled me on more than one occasion.
It's like, got some good moments.
Yeah, there's just like very surprising moments where I'm just playing and I'm like going through the gameplay loop and I'm like, whoa, that was crazy.
It's like really, really polished and like their attention to detail in a lot of ways. Yeah. Like a little thing that I love is every time you go back to GCPD, you go back to the police department, it's filling up with all the thugs that you're sending back. Like everyone made fun of the previous Batman games for like, you left that dude hanging upside down with a broken arm, you know, in the middle of winter. But now Batman will like call in, like, you know,
an officer will be by to pick you up shortly.
Yeah, exactly. And then you see that, like, they're in, and then they remember, like, there's a moment where you can choose to either break a guy's arm or not, and then that's reflected later in, like, dialogue in the jail.
Man, I don't remember that at all. That's great.
It's filling up with the generic thugs just over the course of the game, and it fills up with, like, the supervillains you catch. And, like, little details like that I think are incredible and awesome. Yeah. Just that attention to care. Like, I like how the Batmobile takes chunks out of the sides of buildings if you, like, screw up. It doesn't just pinball off them. Like,
I still am really enjoying driving the Batmobile.
The Batmobile, I think, is
how far into the game are you?
I'm not into
15% is where.
Oh, wow!
You're really, really.
I guess that's where I am right now.
Yeah, it gets a little heavy-handed in terms of how much they kind of force it on you. I was never too hateful about it. Like, I think it gets a little overbearing towards the end. The last third of the game, specifically, is so tank-heavy.
There's literally a scene where you had to fight 60 tanks.
Yeah.
60 is your assigned objective.
You're already doing that in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like going through the core game is fine. I think like what we're talking about here, like some of the window dressing stuff, some of these side missions are a pain in the ass. Some of the
I like them all.
Yeah,
really? I love those.
Yep.
I really
the Riddler stuff.
Do you like disarming those street mines 40 times?
So that one I didn't do because it ended up in tank combat. Anything that is like a mystery or detective stuff, I'm way into.
I mean, I also really like, I love the way they're integrated into the world. Like, that stuff's just there. Like, it's kind of a spoiler, but like when Man-Bat shows
up. That was what I wanted to bring up.
Yes.
That was one of those moments. I was like, holy crap.
I'm flying around and it's just, there he is. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to go get him.
Yeah. They're also like, you have to like tackle him to the ground.
I like all that stuff, but you have to do that three times.
Yeah. And it's the same thing. Every
time. You didn't get enough gunk in his neck.
That's also games.
It's not just like,
three times.
I just like that it's not like, go to this spot on the map. There's just stuff happening in the world. Yeah. Like, I stumbled across the Firestarter guy. What's his name? Is he just Firestarter?
Firefly.
Yeah. I ran into him, and then it's like, dude, you gotta chase him down, and I'm chasing him, and then he got away. Like, I didn't catch him, and I'm like, well...
You have to do that one three times, too.
But then I'm like, well, now what? Like,
how do I find him again?
He got away. Like, what do I do? But I kind of like that I don't know. I like that I screwed up, and it left me with, like, this question mark of, like, okay, I guess I'll keep playing the game.
You go right back to the exact same firehouse that he burned. He burns three specific firehouses in the game, and he's always at them. It's not as, like, open and random as it seems. I know the Man-Bat stuff feels like that, but there's an entire section of the game where he always is, and when you're up somewhere and you hear, like, and you're like, there he is, and you go chase him down.
It's the same as the opera songs, right? Like, you can only find those by listening, and you hear it, and you're like, I know it's here.
With the missing firefighters, you have to overhear their conversation.
That stuff's pretty cool. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the side missions. I wish that they weren't as repetitive, because it's just like, the stuff I actually really like doing was those towers with the drones on them.
Yeah.
Like, that felt super, cool. Like, Far Cry to me, of, like, going into a base and just taking everything out. Also, the ones that have the walls up around them. Where there was just like one dude inside that had a
the commander's radio.
I've kind of forgotten about some of that stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in
there. There's some good stuff.
But like, you know, when you finish the game, and no spoilers, it kicks you back into the world and it basically says, do all of this stuff. And you start doing it, and then you realize that until you do 230 something Riddler challenges, you're never going to get the true ending. And then you go on YouTube.
Before we move on to the next subject, I want to talk about something that you brought up, and this is. We're wading into very shallow spoiler territory here. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not very far in the game, so this isn't going to be a big spoiler. But if you don't want anything about Batman Arkham Knight spoiled for you, maybe just close your ears, skip ahead. But you were commenting that for someone who's supposed to be dead, Joker's in the game a hell of a lot.
Oh man!
And I can kind of see why it works the way that they put him in there. But at the same time, I also think it's a little cheap. Of Rocksteady to like,
yes.
I get the sense that they weren't confident that people would play a Batman game without Joker in it. Right? So you gotta have Joker.
But at the same time, people are. They are playing it, not knowing he's there.
Yeah.
No. And then he shows up.
I think it's awesome.
I really? Love it. It's my favorite thing
to play. Did you finish it?
I haven't finished the game, but it's my favorite thing.
How far are you?
Probably a third of the way through.
Okay. Because he, again, same thing. He is in it a lot.
The last third of the game,
and totally this is no spoilers really, but you start fighting somebody, and then like 60 Jokers show up, and you start fighting them. Like, I would guess that Mark Hamill has more dialogue as the Joker in this game as a dead guy than he does in any of the games he starred in where he was living.
Sure, but I don't understand. I don't see that as like a criticism. Like, it's awesome. No. I think it's interesting writing, and I think it's interesting that it, like, what it says about Batman's psyche. And yeah. I think he's a more interesting character than Batman.
And the stuff that he enables is really good.
Joker is your Navi in this game.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, he's like the way Link is always has someone like, hey, look, listen. Like, you get on, you turn on a rooftop, and he's just like, hey, Bats, how are you?
But I love
he's,
that. Those are like my favorite moments.
You, is and when, like, yeah. you, it's you taunting yourself. Like,
yes, because he's literally not there. Like, this is one of the best representations of Joker, and he's not there because this is Bruce's version of Joker, and he shows up at the most inopportune times because Bruce doesn't trust himself because he's trying to do this whole thing alone, and in doing so he's kind of driving people away from him and driving himself crazy. So he'll come out of a mission, he'll open a door, and the Joker's just like, hey man, what's up? That didn't really go that well. And he's just taunting him, and it's, I love that, and I love the places really it goes, it and I love the things that it does. There's a particular boss fight.
I think it becomes very overbearing.
Have you didn't like that boss fight with the bombs? With the song?
Oh, that was great!
Yes!
That was great, but because that was something very special, and that wasn't even a boss fight, really. That was a puzzle.
Yeah.
But no, that was very special. I actually absolutely love that moment. I will not use that to take away from anything else. That was a great moment in the game.
But I think there are so many things, like, obviously that's, like, extremely different than everything else, but the hallucination stuff is fantastic.
Yeah, have you noticed the billboards, how they can change?
I was trying to find that and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah,
someone told me to do it, but
just there's, you know, billboards and advertisements all over the game world, and there's a version of most of them or all of them that have the Joker's face replacing the man or woman. And if you look away and look back, then it's changed back to normal. And then it just makes you wonder if you're seeing like what you think you're seeing.
I never noticed that.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. This week, PlayStation announced the lineup for its PlayStation Store Play 2015, which is apparently an annual thing, although I didn't really remember anything from last year.
It's usually pretty good.
Yeah, there's four good games coming out over the next 4 weeks. So next week, we start off July 21st, finally getting the PS4 version of Journey.
Yep. Free for anyone who owned it already.
Yeah. If you already own Journey, you get that for free.
Yep.
So that's really cool. And then the following week, July 28th, is the long-awaited N++. We've been waiting for this one for a long time.
I played it at E3. I loved N. N++ started to feel a little...
You mean N+.
Yeah, I loved N+. Yeah. Well, and I loved N the Flash game, too, but I was referring to N, N+,
I'm so confused.
N was the Flash game.
Right.
N+ was the XBLA, and it even came to the DS,
I think. It came to a bunch of platforms eventually, but most people played it on XBLA. So I loved it, and this game feels like that. Like, it feels just as good. It feels like more of the same, but a lot of games have been doing what N's been doing in the years since N+ came out.
Yeah. Totally.
Like, it didn't feel as new or as special or as fresh now that we're seeing, like, sort of frustration platformers.
Yeah.
You know, like, N was maybe the first one, and then there was Meat Boy, and then there were many, many more after that.
I like the first game a lot. I wonder if this is one of those games that's been in development a little too long.
Yeah.
Because it was, I think this was at the big PlayStation 4 reveal event.
Was that true?
I want to say, like, it was announced this was coming.
This is like a weird game to have at that event.
Yeah.
And now... N++.
It is just in their indie game reel.
Yeah.
It's a cool game, though. Like, I mean, it's sense of like momentum and physics, and like if you want to move fast, you really kind of have to get your character going in interesting ways. Like, it was really fun at E3, but I hope there's more to it in like later stages. Mm-hmm. It does something new.
And then the following week, August 4th, we get Galaxy.
Yes. Do you guys know about this game?
Yeah, I mean,
I've
been seeing it at PAX, it feels like, for several years now.
Yeah.
Or at least a couple years. Have you played this?
Yeah, basically, I mean, it's a sort of open-ish, open-world spaceship sim. It's based on, inspired heavily by, like, a lot of 80s anime.
Yeah.
And I went to PAX, and the dev told me, like, hey, like, we're super inspired by Far Cry. I know that's, like, one of your things. And I was like, how? How is this inspired by Far Cry at all? But it ends up being a sort of stealth adventure game. Like, you're in space shooting stuff, but ships will come after you, and you can evade them, and you can hide, and you can use these asteroid fields to... evade them, and it's like some Han Solo stuff. It's awesome.
I like that character art in the corner.
Yeah,
it's got that anime vibe, like you said. Finally, August 11th, we're getting Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Finally.
Cannot wait for that game.
Another of those first FPXs, right?
Is that what they're calling them? We did a whole month of those for IGN First in March. So we did a we had a bunch of stuff there with, about like the narrative and the music.
Firewatch.
Yep.
Adrift.
Yeah.
And then we did we closed out with Double Fines.
I still have to play Ethan Carter too.
Ooh, it's really good. It's coming to PS4.
Yeah,
just came out.
I couldn't play. My PC finally crapped out. Yeah. So I'll need
one of those beautiful games I've ever played.
Mm. So that's cool. I think this is a cool lineup of games. Is it weird though that this event was sort of started by Microsoft with Summer of Xbox Live Arcade, and then they stopped that, and now PlayStation's doing it?
It's weird that they stopped doing that.
Yeah,
it is.
That was always such a cool event. Yeah, I don't know why.
I think it was a great way.
Live Arcade went away.
Yeah, it was a great way to start spotlighting things too. You know,
yeah.
Like we saw at Comic Con, like Castle Crashers HD, and I'm like, oh man, it reminded me of like Summer of Arcade. Like this used to be a whole big thing.
Yeah,
where you would just like take the summer to play a bunch of like kind of smaller, more bite-sized games.
Well, these games that were hard to stand out on their own. I mean, even though they are dope, like they're awesome, but like you kind of need to bundle them up and be like, look, you buy all of these and you'll get $5 or $10 back. And there's some expectation that, you know, play games for yourself or read reviews, but there's some expectation that they're going to be pretty high quality because they're putting the best of the best in front of people all at one time.
Yeah, you put something like that on a platform and you elevate it to a level that people know without even having to be told that, like, this means something a little bit more than your average digital game.
I mean, I think that's part of the problem with the final few Summer of Arcades, and I don't even remember any specifics, but my memory is that they weren't like triple, like Castle Crashers and Shadow Complex were like incredible, and the final few Summer of Arcades felt like a little bit more of a stretch to me.
I agree.
Yeah.
You could be right. I'd have to revisit the lineups.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that all kicks off next week. Out this week is Godzilla on PS4.
4.5 on IGN.
Is that what we gave it?
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, after spending some time with it last night, it's pretty, pretty, pretty bad.
You're a big Godzilla fan,
I was gonna
too.
Say you couldn't resist to even at least trying it.
Oh, I did try it, yeah.
Like, well, that's what I mean.
I mean, I thought, you know, let's say if it's a bad game to an average gamer, if you're a hardcore Godzilla fan, does it seem okay? You know, but no, it's just really bad.
It's still bad.
A huge bummer.
So it's like a, you know, it's a brawler. But then in the main game mode, you play as Godzilla, and then you
I literally don't understand what
he's saying. What is he fighting?
He's fighting another...
Oh, there it
is. There we go.
Gothra larva here. In the main game, you play as Godzilla, and you go from location to location, and you have to knock out generators. You just have to destroy the generators, and then but then during the level, another kaiju will show up, and you have to defeat them first.
Oh no!
You only have 4 attacks, and you move really slow because you're Godzilla, and there's no block. So like, when you're fighting, there's no block. So when you're fighting a faster monster, like they're just like getting all these hits, and you can't. I mean, like Mothra is just whooping Godzilla's ass, and that would never happen.
That's not canon.
Yeah,
it doesn't look.
So great that's the
either.
Other thing. I'm playing, you know, Batman Arkham Knight, and then I put this game in, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, how the balls on Namco Bandai that they would even call this a PlayStation 4 game. It does, I mean, yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about this before. There hasn't really been a good Godzilla game since, you said, the Super Nintendo?
Yeah, so I've been playing one with Jared Petty, a Super Nintendo Godzilla fighting game that only came out in Japan. It wasn't even released here.
Did you guys play War of the Monsters on PlayStation 2?
Yeah.
I remember those
games,
yeah.
It is so good, and it holds up. And it's exactly the kind of game like this that you would expect, where you have like a giant lizard fighting a giant robot, fighting a giant samurai, and they're all, like, you're in a city, and you're throwing people through buildings, and you're picking up cars, and you're smashing it. Like, all of that stuff is so good, and I'm amazed that we haven't seen a sequel, or a remake, or a port, or somebody steal the idea. Like, it's so good, and it's something I feel like people want, because Godzilla was really good, and, well, I think it was really good. I know I'm in a minority there. But Pacific Rim was really cool, and stuff is, like, this stuff is becoming popular again.
Yeah.
And now is the time, and these guys are trying to capitalize on it.
Well, they're making a Rampage movie with...
with The Rock!
Yeah. The Rock.
I hope they put that rat in it.
He's going to play as the
really
as
giant rat.
When I was a kid, I loved Rampage.
Yeah.
And I played it like on the playground at school.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm going to be Izzy, the Godzilla one. You be the King Kong ripoff one. Like,
I loved Rampage. It's actually not a great game.
No, but it was at the for youths.
It's just fun to like reach a building and gobble something and punch a hole in a skyscraper. It's great.
I mean, and it's something they revisited for a while. They kept remaking it in different versions of it.
Love that.
It never really held my attention for more than a few minutes. But I'm glad it's part of video game history.
Yeah.
I feel the same way, but there's no need to, like, hey, Rampage, let's bring that back. It's like, no, your time, and it's over now.
Did you hear about the last Starfighter TV show?
Yeah, like, what? Why?
I'm okay with that though. Like, I like The Last Starfighter. Say,
okay. I'm kind of okay with it too.
It's just crazy, right? It's just crazy.
David, nothing goes away forever anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
Everything you love is guaranteed to come back. Nothing's ever gone.
You guys see the trailer for Ash vs. Evil Dead?
Yeah, that looks really good. That looks really good.
Looks great.
Yeah. If you guys don't know, the Starfighter Chronicles. It doesn't follow the same character or anything. It's not about the last Starfighter. It's just it's like set in that universe and follows intergalactic like a police force, I think. And so the show's going to be on TV, but certain scenes will be shot for VR. So you would watch it on your Oculus.
And or you could, like, I won't.
Yeah, or we won't do that. So it's supposed to be a TV show that uses Oculus.
Wow.
There's an Oculus short film coming out pretty soon, too.
Really?
Yep.
Sounds interesting. Anyway, Godzilla. No.
Game of the Year contender.
Nope. Oh. I thought it would at least be some dumb fun, but no. It's just
dumb.
Yeah.
4.5 is a tough score to justify. Like a 6 you can be like,
it's okay.
You know, there's some stuff in there which if like you can put up with this or that. Yeah. A 4.5 is just like
it's almost mediocre.
Yeah. It's mindless.
Probably one of the lower scores we've given this year.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And finally this week, we got to touch on very sad news that I learned on Sunday. I was very, very disheartened to hear of Iwata-san's passing. That was really sad and totally unexpected to me.
Yeah.
Like I had heard he'd had some health problems,
yeah.
But
a
nothing,
year,
I,
a year
I had
ago,
no idea what that
was. Yeah, he was missing all sorts of board meetings and he was sick.
D3.
Yeah, like I vividly remember like everybody talking about it and sending well wishes online and stuff like that. And it just went away because he came back.
He seemed to be recovering.
And everything was excellent. And he was great. He's been in all the directs. And I mean, health is a weird thing, right? Like you see someone, you assume they're healthy and you're just happy to see them because he's such a, like a positive force of nature. Yeah. And then Sunday it's just like he's gone.
It's a little bit unclear whether it was a surprise to himself,
his,
you know,
yeah,
to like,
yeah.
or just a surprise to us because we don't know like what's going on.
Well, the type of he had bile duct cancer, which basically has a 30% sort of recovery rate of coming out of that okay. And what that does is it your bile ducts help you digest, which means that he was basically just kind of getting torn apart from the inside. And it's like, there are pictures of him when he was healthy and pictures of him when he was sick. And I can't imagine it was an easy way to go out. Like it's awful. And it really hit me on Sunday.
Yeah.
Being like, you know, there's something incredibly special about this person that I've never met him. I've met a bunch of people at Nintendo and worked with them. Iwata was one of the people I've never actually interacted with. He sat in front of me 3 rows at an E3 once. But he was, there's something incredibly special about his charm and his ability to, his voice specifically and his tone and his presence was coupled with so much delight and surprise of the last sort of 10 years of being a Nintendo fan, of watching a direct or watching an E3 presentation, seeing him or hearing him as the last voice or face you saw before the first reveal of a new Zelda game or a new Mario game or a new Donkey Kong or Metroid or Yoshi or something like that. And you could tell that there was somebody that he took joy in what he did and that there was a positivity and optimism and this sort of this childlike wonder to all of it that you don't really get from the kind of like, there's that kind of cool swagger that a lot of Microsoft and Sony executives have that they like, if they forget every now and then that this is like, it's all fun and games, you know? Yeah, and I think he always maintained that, especially holding the bananas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, not afraid to make fun of himself, not afraid to forget that, or not afraid to admit that Nintendo is, you know, largely a kid's company or didn't want to run away from that or shy away from that, like really embraced that.
He's a CEO whose roots weren't in business, they're in game development.
In game design.
Right. Game development.
He's a producer.
That's what I've written about a little bit, is that he's one of the only, you know, corporate presidents that came from the creative side of the business. And not necessarily for poor reason, like you need someone with, you know, business acumen running your business. But it is really interesting that he did come from, like, he was a programmer. Like, he programmed, you know, part of Earthbound and part of Balloon Fight.
Yeah.
And he, there's just these interesting anecdotes, some that I knew and some that I didn't, as I read about him now that he's passed away. Like, he took it upon himself when he was a young programmer that he declared that Miyamoto was his rival. Mm-hmm. And he was laughing about it. This was years later. And he's like, Miyamoto didn't know that it wasn't reciprocated. It wasn't a two-way thing. He just, you know, wanted to be like, this man is going to be my rival and I want to try to do better than him.
Yeah.
And then this was in an interview years later, just reminiscing about it. And now, you know, he runs Nintendo and Miyamoto is one of his right-hand men. And it's like, it's just funny how things work, right? There were these two young guys at Nintendo just trying to make games.
Yeah, it's insane if you look at his sort of pedigree of just the amount of games that he worked on as an executive producer.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
and
all of them, like
all of them, and they're not. I mean, that list isn't done yet. You know, that's the cool thing is that Iwata's gone, but the games that he had a hand in helping to bring to fruition in some capacity, like we don't know exactly what his role was on the new Zelda game coming out, or you know, the next Zelda game coming out in 3DS, or Mario Maker, a bunch of. I mean, there are so many amazing games that are still yet to come that he helped.
Yeah,
come bring to life or helped bring people together to create in some way. So that's really special to know that like he's gone, but there is still more to come from his work, and that his presence will be there forever.
I mean, he's extremely responsible and was instrumental in Nintendo's culture of being a company that takes risks, huge risks. I mean, the company employs who knows how many people, and they're not afraid to do something insane, and sometimes it works like the Wii and becomes, you know, takes the company to higher heights than they've ever reached in the history, you know, the 100-year plus history of the company. And sometimes they don't work out, unfortunately. I mean, that's the nature of risk taking. Instrumental in the company's emphasis on, you know, they talk about it for years, their blue ocean strategy of trying to get more people playing games, and it totally worked. Like, I have three sisters and a mom. I come from a family of almost all women, and they all have Wiis, and a couple of them have DSs, and none of them ever cared about video games in the past, and after the Wii, they've gone back to sort of not caring about video games, sadly. But for that one period, everyone in my family was a gamer, and that's really thanks to Nintendo, and I do put a lot of that. I give, you know, Iwata personally a lot of credit for that.
He spent his life working at Nintendo. He rose to, you know, run the company. He was the fourth CEO of Nintendo and the first the first CEO that wasn't family or married into the family.
Right.
Wow.
And Nintendo, I mean, there probably isn't a company on earth that has had more of an effect on me in my life and actually helped shape the person that I've grown up to be today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When the head of their company passed away, that's definitely something that I feel.
Yeah, I mean, you go to an E3 and you look around and you're like, this is really here because of the decisions that people at Nintendo made ages ago. And that company continuing to thrive and be creative and successful has led to creative and successful people all over the world getting jobs in the video game industry, and people like everyone in this room growing up and playing Nintendo games and then saying one day, I want to write about them or I want to do videos about them. Mm-hmm. It's just, he reached so many people, and he was so positive and so wonderful, and I'm really, really going to miss that. The next Nintendo Direct without him is going to be very bittersweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
I also think, I mean, sort of selfishly, moments like this make me self-reflective a little bit, I guess. And it's like, he was only 55.
Yeah.
Like, that's very, very young. Yeah. And I'm 30, which is still young, but it's just never really crossed my mind that I might only have 20 or 25 years left. Like, I just don't think about my life in that way.
Sure.
I just assume, you know, the average person lives into their 70s, so I'll make it that long. But it's like, that's not a guarantee at all. Like, so, you know, if... Like, you should reach out to a loved one and talk to them right now. Like, if you don't talk to your dad or whoever in your life very much, like, you don't necessarily have all the time you think
even
you have.
Even if you do.
Well, sure, 52. But I mean, like...
But yeah, I know what you mean.
It definitely made me think about my own life. And it was just sort of this light bulb moment where, like, oh, it had never really crossed my mind that, you know, people can go young all the time.
Yeah.
And I just don't really think about my own life that way. And so, I don't know. It was a tough day on Sunday, for sure.
Agreed. All right, we're not going to end on a sad note, though. No. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Eric did. And he says, I would enjoy listening to the group try to guess this game for video game 20 questions. So here we are. That's that time on Gamescoop when
Mitch,
we play.
Mitch, have you done this yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Video game 20 questions.
Is this a Nintendo game?
Now, what do you mean by, like...
Is it on a Nintendo platform?
Yes.
Did it come out before 2000? Originally.
Originally, yes.
Ooh.
Was it developed... So this is actually a question from GameScoop. He tweeted out that this is a good... Like, it's a suggestion for a question. I thought it was totally a good idea. Is the developer still in business?
Yes.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
So... It's on a Nintendo system.
Mm-hmm. Originally. Which makes me think it was.
Well, it originally came out before Nintendo. Before, yeah, so it was remake.
So it makes me think it's a remake also.
Immediately my mind goes, and this is not a guess yet, makes me think like Rare, Perfect Dark, something of that. still in business. It was remade. It was a Nintendo platform originally.
Before 2000. We should right. narrow down. Okay, did it come out in the like N64 generation, on that generation?
Originally?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is this a video game made by Rare?
Nope.
See, because I think it's a multi-platform game, because...
Yeah.
Okay, so is it a multi-platform game?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Well, the good news is, if it's an N64 game, we've narrowed it down to like 175.
A game that came out on PS1, presumably, and N64.
And then what was re-released.
Well, yeah, presumably it was released, just based on Damon's... We gleaned some extra information based on the way you answered that question.
On which one?
Did it originally come out? Did it come out before 2000? And you wanted
originally
to...
did.
Yeah, we caught a glimmer, and we're just kind of gonna ride it.
Yeah.
Did this game receive an HD remake?
No.
Okay.
Oh.
Virtual console.
Sure.
Yes.
I mean, we can narrow down genre, developer.
Yeah.
Do you shoot things in this game with guns?
You do not.
I don't know what to do with that.
That was wow.
Maybe you're getting shot at?
I don't want to ask this question this time, but a question that I was really proud of is, do you play as a ship in a previous 20 questions?
I would table that one for now. That's a good question though.
Are you a human?
I was going to say that's
are you a human?
Probably.
Okay.
What?
PN03? You shoot things in that game, though.
Sure.
So.
You do shoot things in that game.
And that came to PS2 later.
A multi-platform game that was on the N64 where you get shot at.
Well, you don't shoot things.
They're shooting...
But you do not shoot things.
Things are being shot somewhere.
Yeah, presumably.
Man, how many multi-platform games were there on the N64?
I'm just not... Every multi-platform game I can think of is like... A shooter, Resident Evil.
There's fighting games, but I guess you could play.
Right?
You're probably human. I feel like we always start to try to narrow down developer, and it's always a trap. Like, is it an EA game? Is it a Ubisoft game? Is it a such and such game?
Should we go with multiplayer?
Yeah, did it have any multiplayer?
Yes.
Okay.
That's 10.
I feel like we're getting worse at 20 questions. We always used to get them right.
Has anyone lost yet?
We lose all the time.
I lost for sure.
The unlocked team was very close to losing.
Yeah, we lose often. Okay, and it did have multiplayer. I don't even know.
Should we narrow down genre? Is that gonna be hard?
Yeah, I mean, is it first person?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, there were very few.
No, it's not. I mean, no.
David,
is it a? Makes me
twin. Okay, see, could be something tricksy like Twin Snakes, because that was later re-released.
No, you shoot things all over that.
Also,
game.
Also, wasn't N64.
No, yeah. But it was originally like the original Metal Gear Solid. Would allow it to be on a Nintendo platform. That would answer.
But it wasn't
on
the N64.
No. But he said it originally came out in that generation. And that it's a multi-platform game, so Metal Gear Solid could have been.
Wait, did it start on the N64 or the N64 generation?
N64 generation.
Is that a question?
And he said it was on a Nintendo platform, so that's why it could be something tricksy. Is this a console game?
I mean...
Is this a home console game?
It was on a console, yes.
A home console, not a...
It was on a home console.
Okay.
I'm gonna be so mad when we get.
There's some sort of weird. There's some sort of weird handheld mobile.
Right.
Is it multi? Wait, did you say it was on multi-platform? Mm-hmm. It's multi-platform. Could it be something that was on the N64 that later it got ported to the DS?
It could even be like, and now it's on mobile.
Do we get genre?
No.
Should we try platforming?
Yeah. Is it? Do you do a lot of platforming in it?
No.
Damn it.
So it's not like Mario 64 or something weird like that.
Racing?
I still think like, fighting or racing or something like that. Like,
it's not fighting.
What about like a car combat game?
Ooh, like maybe an F-Zero or like a Twisted Metal, although that never
Mario
came to...
Kart,
it couldn't be
Cruising
F-Zero. Mario Kart, F-Zero, because it's multi-platform. It couldn't be.
But you know, you shoot things in Mario Kart.
Are cars or carts featured prominently in the game?
No.
Okay.
I still think fighting game is a viable thing.
Yeah, but if you have multiple characters, it's weird to say probably play as human. Do you?
What if it's all humans?
I mean, okay, sure, ask a question.
Is this a fighting game?
No.
Damn it.
It's 15.
Fudge.
I feel bad. I feel bad for you guys. With 5 questions left, I feel like I should give you a hint.
Okay.
But not if you don't want it.
We want it.
We want it.
I've shamelessly accepted it.
Yes. I'll take your hint.
Way too hung up on the N64.
Okay. Damn it.
That's unfortunate.
It's a PS1 game, then?
Could be.
We should have gotten that down early. We should have really
now I'm starting.
That. We got two in the weeds.
But it did come to a Nintendo platform.
Right. So it was a game from that generation that maybe later made its way to a Nintendo platform. Mm-hmm. Why didn't we... You know what? We're big old dummies. Because here's the deal.
Yeah.
We've been wondering about, did it get re-released or whatever, and we could have burned a question on that 10 questions ago.
Well, I asked if we got an HD re-release.
Yeah, you did ask that, and the answer was no.
But it might not be HD. It might just be like a straight port went to the GameCube or the Wii.
Oh. And it's got multiplayer, but it's not a first-person shooter, and it's not a racing game.
It's not a fighting game.
And it's not a fighting game.
We decided it was not a platform,
so
correct.
So it could be some third person, and we know you don't shoot things, but there is shooting, so we actually know a lot about it. A third person, I'm picturing a third person action game where maybe you're being shot at or there's shooting happening, but you're not shooting.
And there's no driving. Or not a lot of driving.
No cars or carts prominently.
Very non-prominent cars or carts.
You're getting off on this. It's,
I can be furious.
Is it 3D?
Yes.
Mm. So that eliminates any sort of 2D gaming shenanigans.
Yeah.
Is there any shooting in Crash Bandicoot?
I never came to Nintendo 64.
Came to a Nintendo platform.
They eventually
Crash
came
Bandicoot,
to like GameCube and stuff.
Well.
The Wii stuff. I think there was the Wii like sequels.
Yeah.
But I think he's talking about this game came to, not this series.
I can't even... The problem with this game is if you were to say, Justin, name a video game right now, I don't think I could do it.
I could not either. I don't even have anything close to resembling a video game in my brain right now.
Like, sometimes there's a fuzzy picture of a game emerging, and in this instance, there's just nothing going on.
All right, 4 questions left. We got to bring it home.
Okay. I'm giving you some... Does this game take place in America?
No.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty confident about that.
Okay.
Alien world.
Space.
Space town.
Space town.
3 questions left.
Yep. Is it a sci-fi game?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. Sci-fi. Left. PlayStation generation eventually came to a Nintendo platform.
Where you don't get shot at.
Where you don't get shot at.
Omega Boost.
Or you do get shot at. Could be Omega Boost. But did Omega Boost ever come to another
You
thing?
Shoot things at Omega Boost. Yes.
That never came to a Nintendo platform, did it?
No. The game never... I don't know why. It's never going to be Omega Boost, and I always think it's Omega Boost.
Damn it!
Someday. Then when it is Omega Boost, we won't get there. Mm-hmm. But sci-fi, that's a totally good hint.
PlayStation sci-fi games. We are assuming it's PlayStation, not like, it's PC, and then it... Because it did eventually come to a Nintendo platform, which means it was a home console game. Doesn't mean it was PlayStation, not PC.
You shoot things in, like, Gradius and all of those.
Yeah.
I'm really hung up on that question.
It's also 3D, third person.
3D, we don't know it's third person. We know it's not first person. Oh. So, third person. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You're killing us.
It's not what you would think of in a first person game. So.
Which makes me think it might be like a first person motor. You get in a car and you drive around.
Well, there's no, but it doesn't feature cars or
prominently.
Prominently.
You drive your own body around.
2 questions left. Bring her home. Throw a Hail Mary.
What is the name of the game?
You can do your alphabet question if you want.
Does Zach in the control room have a question?
Zach knows what it is.
Oh.
Last time.
See, I wonder, like,
Zach.
Is it a dangerous question to ask, can we go home and play this game right now on, like, a new console? Like,
no, that's a great question because we don't have any other questions.
Is this playable on, like, Xbox One, PS4, Wii U?
Sure.
But then it becomes like, is it a virtual console game? Is it digital re-release?
Yeah, I mean, if I wanted to go home and buy this game on a current console, could I do it?
No. Here it is.
That helps, but
that was question 19.
I don't even know.
Like, I can't even throw out. Like, I think it's this game.
All right. Should we reveal?
Yeah. 19
ready to
questions.
Reveal?
Yeah.
You want to concede without even asking the 20th question?
You want to ask the
20th? The 20th question has to be a name. Like, the name of the game.
If it's not the game, then you didn't get it.
Right. I can't think of any.
I think naming the game is not a question.
It is. Is it this?
That is. Yeah. That
you
was
the totally
question.
To
is oh, okay.
I would say the game is this.
I'm thinking about like you know games like MDK and weird stuff like that, but they all have shooting.
Right. Like you.
I'm drawing a blank between like third, any game where that might have shooting where you're not shooting. That's sci-fi.
Well, there's plenty like where you're
Space Station, Silicon Valley.
You have a staff or a sword or something, and other people are shooting things at you. But this is a sci-fi game. So I don't know what you. I don't know.
I'd be really mad if it's like it's the PlayStation version of StarCraft.
That's actually not a terrible guess.
Maybe you have a lightsaber. Maybe it's a Star Wars game.
Yeah.
People shoot at you all the time.
Oh snap! We forgot to ask all the questions about the licensed. Is it licensed? Do you play as a human? Ah,
easy.
Yeah. So I don't even. Was like
we don't. We have to guess. We have to guess.
It has to have been on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
Sure.
It started on one gen and came to another, we presume.
I think you have a lightsaber, and I think people shoot at you. That's about as far as I've gotten. Now I'm going to die.
It's like KOTOR.
Not that. Well, the thing is, if it came out, that game was like 2000.
Yeah, that's too late. It's too late. KOTOR is too late. So
you can also shoot stuff in that game.
Rogue Squad? No, I shoot things like crazy in those games.
Yeah, but there is the lightsaber one, but you have blasters in all those games and all those Star Wars games.
What is it? You gotta make your guess.
I have nothing. I'm out.
Out of time.
I'm out. It's all on you guys.
Okay, I don't know.
But it also came to an Nintendo platform.
All right, I'm gonna reveal it.
Okay, please do.
You didn't
get us out of here.
You're not gonna get there. Zach, the game is... Nope.
Nailed it.
The game is... Zach. Where is Zach?
StarCraft!
You are so close!
StarCraft!
You were so close, it was StarCraft!
Damn it!
You said the game, but did not guess the game.
Mitch.
It was StarCraft. Released on the PC in 1998, released on the Nintendo 64 in 2000.
Oh my god, that's right!
Yes.
What's this guy's name who wrote in?
Eric.
Eric, you are a tricky bastard. Yeah,
that was a really good one.
That's really good.
I'm going to call shenanigans on this
Why?
One.
Why?
Because I wouldn't call StarCraft 64 StarCraft. I would call it a different game. So I would say StarCraft did not come to a Nintendo platform.
I think it came to the N64.
StarCraft 64 is different.
It's a totally different game?
No, it's not totally different. It's semi, it's like 1.5.
I said it was originally released before 2000. It did come to a Nintendo platform.
Damn it.
Developed by Blizzard, published by Blizzard on PC, published by Nintendo on the N64.
Man, we got this.
I'm really happy. So, I specifically said, I'm going to be pissed if it's StarCraft.
Here's what's annoying about that.
I don't think it came to PlayStation. I think it came to N64.
Yeah. What's annoying about that is we should have just asked a random game, and it probably could have been StarCraft, and then we could have had a victory for the ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were so close.
If I could go back in time and change one thing in history,
it would be that.
It would be this day. This moment.
When you said StarCraft, I tried hard not to react.
I'm also a little...
Sometimes I look
you
at...
Shoot, I might say that you shoot shit.
See, you don't do anything. You give orders.
Well, yeah, but like you That's, control...
Oh, what the... What, right? No, you're right. You're right. Damn it.
I'm trying to be fair.
I'm with Damon on that one.
I
side with Damon on that one.
I'm trying to be fair. You don't do the shooting.
You control. You are the army.
No, you're the commander.
You're not a person. I guess you are the army.
That's why when you guess, are you human? I guess, well, yeah, you're playing yourself, so you're probably human.
Yeah, but that's not... I don't know. I feel like we need a referee because you play as three.
I'm the referee.
No, but you play. We need because you play as the Zerg and the Protoss too. There's three campaigns in that game.
Right.
Okay. Well, then that would be.
He did say you probably play as humans, and humans are the primary campaign.
No, there's three. They're all equal. There's 10 missions in each campaign. So
when you're playing the game, you're supposed to be a commander in that faction.
Yeah.
Okay. So that
you're like
that
an unnamed. They are addressing you specifically in the pre-mission. Like,
I was assuming that you're supposed to be yourself commanding this army.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I was wrong about that, but you do play as aliens.
And then for the first person question, I was like, well, you're supposed to be like looking down on the battlefield yourself in first person.
I think
it's an abstraction.
But I think Damon got away totally fair. Because we came to this conclusion. Did not secure the victory. Like,
he got me talking about Star Wars for 5 minutes at the end. I was way down the wrong path there.
Not that wrong.
Really?
I'm really upset.
Video game 20 questions. You win some, you lose some. Thanks for the suggestion, Eric.
Remember, I lose
thanks
most.
Thanks for nothing,
and
Eric.
The good thing is, we have so many good suggestions. I get them in the GameScoop inbox every day. We're gonna be able to play this game forever.
I'm so disappointed in myself because we never learn from any of our mistakes.
No.
We just make the same ones over and over. Like we get hung up on we never clarify if it's a PC game.
We're like a dog. We hear like Nintendo, it's Nintendo.
Yeah. And then we spend forever being like, yeah, but he said maybe it was released. just spend one question on it.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Good game, everybody. That's all the scoops we have for this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Mitch. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop and Wraps.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.